welcome to this episode of Auburn Unleashed. I'm your host, Adam Clayton. We're joined today by Jim Patton. Jim's with us. We've taken a little break of about 2 weeks.
Yeah, while you were out in California, Adam, on your break, Auburn's men's basketball hadn't done that great, but they beat us two out of Alabama, and so I believe that's enough to make it a good 2 weeks.
It was a good 2 weeks, and unfortunately, while I was out in Los Angeles doing my real job, which allows me to be able to do things like this, I did not get to hear too much about college football out there. That's they have a couple of big football teams out there, but it's just not the same atmosphere. And while I've been gone, it's my understanding there's been a national signing day.
Yeah, I believe Auburn, from what I hear, did very well in recruiting, but I believe you've rounded up a couple of people who can pretty well answer all those questions, didn't you, Adam?
Well, we have. Tonight we're going to be joined by Andy Salzer and Dusty Miller from College and Magnolia. It's a website that follows recruiting and things Auburn. I know Andy. He's a lawyer here in Birmingham, and he and I have known each other for several years. And even when we decided we were going to do a recruiting show to follow what was going on with Auburn and other schools around the SEC, Andy was a natural fit, so I gave him a call, and we're going to welcome them to the show here today.
How you fellas doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for having us on your show. I think we'd probably just need to introduce ourselves first. I'm Andy Salzer, and over here beside me is Dusty Miller. We contribute to the college, collegeandmagnolia.com website. We're the Auburn blog for SB Nation. SB Nation, real quick, is a conglomerate of over 300 sports blogs that spans basically every single major professional and amateur sport that you can think of, and we just happen to write for the one devoted to Auburn, and we're happy to be here. Appreciate it.
How did you get into that, Andy?
Well, a couple of years ago, some friends of mine and I started talking about starting on our own independent blog, and we contacted some other folks in town that we knew that had the right skill set to make that happen, and we started our independent blog about a year or so ago, and sometime last summer, we got in touch with SB Nation, and they allowed us to come on to be the official Auburn blog for SB Nation, and we've been on with them since August of last year. And it's been a good ride so far.
Dusty, how did you and Andy meet as far as getting together on this type of situation?
Actually, we met about 2 years ago at an Auburn baseball game. It was one of the first times we ever met, so just kind of a mutual love of Auburn is what brought us together. We became friends, started going to Auburn events, tailgating, that kind of thing, and just following Auburn.
Well, I hear y'all are Auburn recruiting gurus. Y'all can bring people who keep up with it and people who don't keep up with it right up to date and let us know what's happening. How did Andy, how did Auburn do this year compared to other schools in the rankings and stuff as far as recruiting went?
Well, after the coaching turnover happened, there was a lot of speculation about how well this class would turn out, and there were a lot of mutual decommitments, and there are some kids that went other directions, and we were about 20th after the coaching turnover. But after it was all said and done, we finished number 10 in the nation, which was a phenomenal job by Gus and his staff with only about 2 months of recruiting to get in there and secure up all the commitments that we needed and then add some to that. So it was quite a good job by he and the new staff.
Cool. Dusty, why don't you give us kind of an overview of who Auburn did sign and where our strengths were and what we needed? And Andy, you just chime in any time, and y'all both. This is the meat of our question here, what everybody wants to know. So y'all just let us know what went on.
And Jim, I think since they are the experts, why don't we just – let's just turn the show over to these guys and let them – Jim's going to chime in every now and then. We're going to kind of let you guys run with this. This is your deal. You guys know recruiting, and Jim and I are going to sit back and learn something along with our listeners.
One of the first first few recruits you want to talk about are the guys that come in and have already enrolled in school. You've got a couple of JUCO guys, Ben Bradley, big defensive tackle, Devontae Danzy, big athletic offensive guard, and Cameron Artis Payne. He's kind of a big bruising running back that Auburn didn't have on the current roster. So he's going to fill a role kind of similar to what
probably Ben Tate. He's probably close to what Ben Tate was a few years ago.
Yeah, I'd say Ben Tate's probably a good comparison for Cameron Artis Payne. He's good with catching the ball out of the backfield. He can run between the tackles. He's got good size, good feet, good vision. And he'll, coming in and being able to go through spring practice, especially with very few running backs on the roster, scholarship running backs on the roster this spring, he'll have an opportunity to make an immediate impact.
And he's especially going to be valuable since Mike Blakely left the team. He's going to fill that role very well, I believe. I think you would agree with that, Dusty.
Yeah. Devontae Danzy, one of the holes. Auburn signed a real big recruiting class on the offensive line last year in 2012. However, most of those guys were kind of offensive tackle prospects. So one of the holes that Auburn needed to fill with this year's class was getting a couple of interior offensive linemen. Devontae Danzy is going to be one of those, and he'll come in and go through spring practice, and he'll compete right away for one of those starting guard positions along the offensive line. Some of the other things that you want to look at real close is going in, looking back at some of the needs that Auburn had heading into the signing class. And you look back, and with Clint Mosley leaving the team, we had only two scholarship quarterbacks that'll go through spring practice. So recruiting a couple of quarterbacks was a primary need, especially something that will fit Gus Malzahn's offense. And getting Jeremy Johnson actually holding on to his commitment was really big. And then going out to the JUCO ranks and grabbing Nick Marshall, who will have an opportunity to play quarterback, and he'll bring a different dynamic to the team.
And before everybody out there thinks that there's already a predestined starter out there, Gus has already he's already said that it's going to be an open competition at every position, including quarterback. And just because, you know, we have a kid who struggled last year in Kyle Frazier, and who basically just grew up in Gus's system, he's not going to be the heir apparent here. So there's going to be a battle for quarterback all throughout the spring, we believe.
Could y'all describe these two quarterbacks we've signed and what their strengths and weaknesses are?
Yeah, Jeremy Johnson out of Carver and Montgomery is a big, strong quarterback with big, strong arm. He's more of a pocket passer. He's got some athletic ability. He can run if he wants to, but he's very much a pocket passer. He'll stand back in the pocket. He's got good mobility. He can escape from pressure, but he'd rather stand back there and throw the ball downfield. Nick Marshall is an athlete, pure athlete. You may remember him. Some SEC fans may remember him. He started out, originally committed out of high school to Georgia, and actually played some as a true freshman as a defensive back for Georgia. Had some misfortune, ended up leaving the team at Georgia, went to JUCO to get things straightened out, and played quarterback in junior college and had an outstanding year. And he'll come back to Auburn. He'll get an opportunity to have a second chance, play quarterback, and he's going to be a dual threat. He's going to bring that running option, the read option, running threat with quarterback. He's got the arm, got the accuracy. He can throw downfield, but he's going to be more of a runner.
Who on the defensive side of the ball did we sign that y'all think really has a good chance of maybe helping this year?
Montrevious Adams. There's no doubt about that. He was probably the biggest signing day get that Auburn got a couple of weeks ago. He was a highly recruited five-star defensive tackle. and he has the ability and the skill to start and make an impact immediately, I believe. I think Dusty would probably agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's talent along the defensive line. We've recruited pretty well the past few years with defensive tackles and defensive ends. Of course, with Corey Lemonnier leaving early for the NFL, one of the defensive end position is one where we're going to need a playmaker to step up in his place. And one of the guys that could do that is going to be Carl Lawson. Lawson may be the face of the defense for the next few years. He's very intelligent, very well-spoken, very grounded young man, and he has been completely unblockable in camps and all-star practices and that kind of thing.
Where did he come from?
Out of Milton, Georgia. Same place where we got our running back commitment, Peyton Barber. They're high school teammates, and I think that may have been a big reason why we were able to sign Peyton Barber is because Carl Lawson and him were close friends growing up. They both wanted to play together in college, and Auburn was a good place for that.
Did we get any linebackers y'all think have a good chance of playing this time?
That was probably one of the biggest misses for this recruiting season. This signing class was linebacker position. Chizik and company before they were let go had a total of 4 linebackers committed, some pretty highly rated linebackers as well. But when the coaching staff left, that kind of fell apart a little bit. And Gus Malzahn came in, did a pretty good job of holding things together. But you've got Cameron Toney out of Huntsville, Alabama, who I think is an underrated prospect as a linebacker. He's got good speed, good size, which is something that's missing on Auburn's current linebacking core. And then the other linebacker that they signed, Kenny Flowers, is a JUCO kid. He's had a chance, a little more experience. He'll be a little more mature coming in. And he may be able to make an impact right away.
And he's not to be confused with Kenny Powers.
Correct. That's right.
Well, I don't know anything about recruiting. Who's Kenny Powers?
Andy, you want to go? You want to take that one?
I play the fifth on that one.
Fellas, who, if you had to pick off a list, if you had to pick, I want each of you to pick one, somebody who wasn't a 4- or 5-star recruit, who you just think, just from your own study, this guy really might make an impact kind of under the radar, a sleeper type player. Andy, who would you pick?
Well, that's kind of a tough question. I've got a couple of guys in mind.
Well, you can pick two. We'll let you pick two.
He's not going to make an immediate impact because he will be a freshman and he will probably be down in the depth chart. But as far as potential goes, running back Peyton Barber is highly underrated, I believe. He was a 3-star rank by most of the recruiting services. And just by watching some of his film from Milton, Georgia, he was the young guy that that Dusty spoke about, who was the Carl Lawson's teammate. He just ran through people and over people and around people. He's just very quick. He hits the offensive line very quickly, and once he's through, you can't catch him. And I think that he has the ability, and he has a very high ceiling. And if he's developed properly, he will be an impact player in the next couple of years, I believe. And the other guy that could be an impact player is Nick Marshall. If he comes in a support quarterback role, or if he's like an all athlete type position, you know, Gus, his offense lends itself to not a lot of trickery, but sometimes, you know, he'll do some misdirection plays, and I think Nick would probably fit that role pretty well. He might line up in the slot receiver position, and they might toss it out to him, and then he might throw it back across the field to somebody and complete a quirky little gadget pass, and he might be able to help that way. So between Nick and Peyton, those two guys will probably be my pick.
All right, Dusty, you got to pick somebody else. So who do you think?
Well, Andy stole my offensive pick. But just to expand on that, Peyton Barber is – he was injured most of his junior year in high school, and I think that may be one thing. He wasn't able to attend a lot of junior camps, didn't get a lot of attention after his junior year because of that injury. So that may be one of the reasons why that kept his rating down. But he's a guy that may – I think will remind a lot of people of Michael Dyer. He's low to the ground, kind of runs with big body, kind of a bowling ball type of runner. He's got good vision, good feet, always falls forward, runs behind his pads. One of the national analysts compared him to Emmitt Smith with his running style, which is about as high of a compliment as you can pay to a running back. But turn it over to the defensive side of the ball. We need help at the safety position. And a couple of guys come out. Kahari Harding out of Oklahoma. He was a late commitment, flipped from Arkansas after Tim Horton moved over. And he's a guy that he's a big guy for safety, a headhunter at the position, loves to hit. And he'll make an impact, I think, if he's given a chance, especially in Ellis Johnson's defense with that 4-2-5, that hybrid linebacker safety position, the star position. He may be a good fit for that. And the other one is Brandon King. He's a guy that everybody overlooked coming out of high school, went to the JUCO route, and has kind of – he's grown up, matured, grew a little bit. And he's a guy that is tailor-made for that hybrid position in Ellis Johnson's offense – or defense, I'm sorry. He's 6'2", 215, and loves to hit. So he'll be a guy to watch for immediately, I think.
Did we get any – I know we've got a good punter and a good place kicker, but eventually they won't be there. Did we sign any specialist or return people or snappers this year?
We didn't return to the Tommy Tuberville days of recruiting where we had to sign a deep snapper every year, which is a good thing. I don't mind giving a walk on a scholarship after he's earned it, but a deep snapper, sometimes you might question the recruiting and using a scholarship immediately when you have such limitations. As they do now. But special teams, they signed and one of the top kicking prospects in the country, and Daniel Carlson. He's big leg kid with decent accuracy. He'll come in and back up Cody Parkey right away. They got a commitment from a punter, one of the top punter prospects in the country, and Jimmy Hutchinson.
He was the number one punter, I think.
But they've come to an agreement, and I think Hutchinson will gray shirt this year. He'll enroll in January and be counted towards the 2014 recruiting class. So we've got both bases covered. One of them will come in and right away and may handle some of the kickoff duties to give Cody Parkey a little bit of a rest, so that on those long field goals, his leg getting tired from kicking off all the time since Gus is going to score so many points.
Well, that's good. That's one of the best things I've heard here today. Now, I believe tomorrow, a fellow might announce where Auburn's in the running for. Is that correct?
Yeah, there are two or three prospects out that are still left out there that are unsigned. One of those is Toby Johnson, big defensive tackle out of Hutchinson Community College.
Right.
And Auburn already has, I believe, four of his teammates.
That's right.
That they signed in this recruiting class out of Hutchinson. So that may give Auburn a slight edge. But he's down to two or three, I think, three teams that he's looking at right now, and probably going to be a Mississippi State-Auburn battle. He visited Mississippi State this past weekend and had a good visit there. But he really enjoyed his visit to Auburn a couple of weeks ago. And having some of those teammates from Hutchinson on already signed may give Auburn a little bit of an edge. We'll see.
Well, my personal feeling is that offensive linemen are the most important because, you know, if you're a running back, you want good offensive linemen. If you're quarterback plus, your defense gets better if you got good offensive linemen. How did we do there?
Offensive line was not a big need in this recruiting class. They needed to fill a couple of interior lineman positions. We're thin at center, so we're going to have to move somebody into that position. They needed a good guard prospect to come in. They went out and went to the JUCO ranks and got Devontae Danzy, who's kind of a big guard. He's perfect, tailor-made for that interior lineman position. And he's good enough. He'll come in, go through spring practice, and he'll compete right away from one of the starting spots at the guard position. And another one they got on signing day, another possibly an underrated kid. I think he's a three-star on some sides and a four-star on maybe Rivals, I believe. Deion Mix out of Mississippi. He was once committed to Mississippi State, decommitted from them a couple of weeks before signing day and took a last-minute visit to Auburn and ended up signing with the Tigers. So,
what are our numbers as far as signees or approximate numbers, and how many spaces do we have left, or do y'all really have the numbers on that?
We ended up signing 23. Like I said a few minutes ago, there's I believe two guys that Auburn may sign late. Toby Johnson being one of those that is supposed to announce on the 19th. And the other one would be wide receiver that was formerly committed to Texas A&M. It's one of the top 100 players. Derek Griffith is 6'7", 215-pound wide receiver who's got some pretty good talent. He hasn't signed yet. He may have some grade questions. They're waiting on some ACT scores for him to see. Right now they got 23 that are signed, three that are already enrolled and will go through spring practice, and then, of course, the gray shirt with the punter. So it's 24. I think they could have signed, up to 26?
I think so, right.
In this class. So they may have a couple couple spots that they can carry over to next year as early enrollee spots for next year.
Well, Andy, tell people more about y'all's blog and how they can access that.
And I tell you what, Andy, we're running a little short on time for this show. Would you guys be agreeable to come back for our next week's show?
Sure.
All right. Jim, I appreciate the help you've done. We only had one extra microphone, so you took the lead on this. Our budget's bigger, though. We now have two microphones.
We got two microphones.
We have two microphones.
We're moving up, buddy. We're moving up.
Guys, we appreciate you being here, and if you don't mind being our guest next week, on our show, we're going to go through your blog, and
were you going to let them tell them how people can see their blog?
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't y'all? That's a good point, Jim. why don't you tell guys? If you'll tell our listeners how you can get to your blog.
Well, just on the internet, we're at www.collegeandmagnolia.com. That'll take you right to our site. We're on Twitter at College and Mag, and we have a Facebook page. Just search for College and Magnolia on Facebook, and each of those places will have links directly to the website. You can go on there and create an account with us. It's completely free. Leave comments on the blog post. We cover not only football, but we have a really good staff, a really good exhaustive staff. We cover basketball, baseball, and we even do a little bit of the other Olympic sports whenever we have some resources down there. So go by and check us out and leave some comments under our blog post, and participate in the community.
What we're going to do is we're going to put a link on our Facebook and Twitter accounts as well. Jim and I are not the best at the Facebook and the Twitter, and honestly, we're not that good on these radio shows either.
Or these podcasts.
Yeah, our podcasts. But maybe we can direct some traffic to each other's sites, and we'd like to have you back next week and in the future. For now, we're going to close out this show. Check us out at bigbrainsmedia.com. Check out the other shows that are on there as well. You can also catch us on Facebook and Twitter. And we appreciate you listening this time. And we'll have our guest, Dusty and Andy, on next week.
War Eagle.
War Eagle.
War Eagle.